Hi, everyone, and welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 70. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Last night, I was having a conversation that I think I wanted to bring up on this show to start off. We have a great show today, and we're going to get to the contest winners in just a little bit. But starting off, last night I had a conversation with someone about sort of all the little projects that I work on from time to time. And a lot of those projects I bring up in this show as a way to sort of help other people. Now, when I first started this podcast, the real reason that I started it was actually to get some students involved in technology and get some students interested in technology. And a lot of times, if you bring up technology topics in the classroom, you will get students' attentions very quickly. And as I sort of grew a little bit, we sort of expanded from just a local group listening to a wide range of people that I never expected would actually listen to someone getting on a microphone week after week and talking about these technology topics. And so thank all of you guys for joining me. So what I found out by doing this is, you know, these little projects that I work on, whether the next day or the next week or 6 months ahead, the more that I work on these projects, the more I'm able to help people come up with solutions to issues that they're having. And that's something that I really enjoy. And that's something that I take quite a bit of pride in doing when it comes to everyday life, just helping people out when I can come up with solutions to problems they're having as far as technology is concerned. So that's why I do the project and this podcast. You know, it started off as the Mr. P Tech podcast because I'm a school teacher. And other than that, I like the sound of MRP Tech podcast better. Sort of stuck with that after that. So basically, that's what I just wanted to bring up the conversation because I know a lot of you guys out there do the same thing. There's nothing special about what I do. And I hope that some of the projects that we discuss in this podcast, you give it a shot and give it a try. And if you do, make sure to let me know. I'm always curious of what people are doing out there, or if they're trying new projects, that type of thing. If you'd like to contact me, just go to mrptechreviews.com, hit the contact form, and I will get the message in my inbox. And that's greatly appreciated. I always love feedback. And speaking of feedback, I do have a contest going on now. And for the last month, we have been offering a giveaway for Larry Bushy's Ubuntu Mate book that he has written and published. And Podnuts has provided me with a copy of that to give away to one listener. And so, after putting out a contest for the last few weeks on getting some listener feedback on some last few episodes, I'm going to announce the winner today. And the winner of that book, I have contacted you already, and I have sent you a message to send this book to you. And I'm going to announce the winner as Ron. Ron sent in an email a couple of weeks ago about some Raspberry Pi projects. And at the same time, he was right on the mark with things that I was trying. So I picked Ron as the winner. And congratulations, Ron. Thanks for sending in the feedback to the show and giving me some projects to work on. I will be in touch with you as well as getting you that book at no cost to you. So congratulations to Ron, winner of the Ubuntu Mate book. As well as the physical copy of the book, I've got a couple of digital copies to give away as well. And one person that I'm going to choose, he wrote into the show. I'm not going to read his email on the show because I didn't ask to share it on the show. But I'm going to give a digital copy of the Ubuntu Mate book to a new Linux user who wrote into the show. His name is Matt, and congratulations, Matt. I'm going to send you the first digital copy. I've got two more digital copies left to pass out. So if anybody would like a digital copy, write into the show, give some feedback, and I'll make sure you get that digital copy of the Ubuntu Mate book. Thanks to Larry Bushy for doing that. I really appreciate it. He didn't need to pass forward a couple of digital copies of his book. But again, giving giving things back to my listening community is something that's very important to me, and I really appreciate that he did that for us. And thanks again to Podnuts for providing the actual physical book that we're sending out. I'm sure just about all the other hosts on Podnuts have checked out the book. I know I bought myself a copy of the book, and just really, it's nice to be able to support another podcast that's out there and somebody who's doing a lot for the Linux community. So congratulations again to all the winners of the contest. I've got two more copies. Feel free to send me a message if you're interested in entering in the contest for the other two digital copies that I have available at this point in time. Moving ahead now, this past week, Linux Mint has seemed to creep back into my life a little bit here. I mentioned last week, Linux Mint Mate 18.2 was the choice for a couple of different projects that I've had been working on. I mentioned one last week. Another one came up this week. I had an uncle who lives about as far away as humanly possible in the continental United States. He grew up in my area and retired in another state, probably about at least 1,000 miles away from here. And he is someone who installed satellite TV for many years. Was a ham radio operator, and also got into building computers for himself and other people in the area. And when I mentioned Linux Mint, he had been trying Ubuntu off and on for a while, and just recently he decided to give Linux Mint a spin again to see what it was and what it was all about. And I sort of helped him. He does a lot of benchmarking when it comes to speed for his computer and trying to make improvements, steady improvements for his SSD drive and just overall performance in his computer and other people's performance on their computers. And has a lot of benchmarking tools that he uses in Windows. And that was one thing that sort of prevented him from just sticking with Linux in general as a daily driver, so to speak. And he gave me a list of benchmarking tools that he needed, and I wanted to see if I can find some Linux alternatives. I know a lot of guys do benchmarking out there. I honestly have no idea when it comes to benchmarking tools. I've never needed it to benchmark anything. And so I did my best. I came up with some solutions for him just to see if those would work for him in his everyday task. And we'll find out over the next few weeks whether or not he sticks with Linux Mint or returns back to Windows 7 on his computers. But in my opinion, Linux Mint is sort of like an old friend. You know, it's always there when you need it and ready to do whatever you need it to do. And I always go back to Linux Mint for certain things. I've got, personally this past week, I installed Linux Mint on a VM on my Mac. And I seem to always have problems in VirtualBox installing guest editions on Mac. And I'm not really sure what causes the problems. I don't have any other problems on any other machines when it comes to using VirtualBox. But I always had trouble just installing guest editions and getting full screen on certain distributions like Ubuntu Mate or just Ubuntu in general. But Linux Mint always has the guest editions installed, pre-installed. And so I got it up and running, and I was able to test a few things this week. And, you know, really kind of forgot how polished and the look and feel of Linux Mint is. And it's actually gotten around a little bit this week with a couple of people I've helped out in trying Linux. It's something I'm just going to keep in mind for the future. It really is a project that I've used over and over for the last few years. I remember going back about 8 years or so now, when our smart boards were first installed at school, one of the things that I did is I had an old laptop and I installed Linux Mint on it, installed the smart board software, and I was actually using Linux Mint in a classroom instead of Windows XP at the time, which our old XP computers were slowly degrading and dying before the end of life of Windows XP. So it's always been rock solid for me, and it was kind of fun to just give it a shot again and see what improvements have been made. Because honestly, I haven't used Linux Mint since maybe Linux Mint 16, 15, somewhere around there. Anyway, moving along now. Last week, I brought up a topic that I was having a whole lot of fun with, and that was the Nextcloud project. And I mentioned Nextcloud being a project that is for anyone who's interested in cloud storage that doesn't want to use Dropbox or Google Drive or anything similar to that, doesn't want to, may not want to pay for the annual service or extra storage for those types of services. And I mentioned that Nextcloud was really easy to install. I had a couple of problems trying to get the data caching set up where my files would load much quicker in Nextcloud. And that honestly wasn't anything to do with Nextcloud. That more was to do with my personal abilities in things like PHP. I didn't feel comfortable enough with the config files and to really know what I was doing. I could manage copying and pasting here and there and trying things and moving things around. But really, I'm not an admin per se when it comes to that stuff. But what I did do is I came across a project called the Nextcloud Pi project. And Nextcloud Pi is an official Nextcloud project as of May 2017. And some of the features right now, it's using Raspbian 9 Stretch, just upgraded to Nextcloud 12.0.3, comes with Apache 2.4, and has HTTP2 enabled, comes with PHP 7. And when it came to installing Nextcloud Pi, it was very, very simple, even more simple than I mentioned last week, trying to get Nextcloud up and running. Basically, by the time I pushed the SD card in the Raspberry Pi, booted it up, set my sort of configuration for my Raspberry Pi, Nextcloud was basically ready to go. Open a browser, create or log in with the admin user, create your own users, and you're basically up and running for the most part. The best thing that I like about Nextcloud Pi is that it had the ACPU caching enabled, so I didn't have to configure anything with that. It has a web panel where you can access certain things like formatting a flash drive for external storage. You can set up things like Let's Encrypt for HTTPS. You can set up things like Fail to Ban to protect against brute force attack. And this is all one click enable, basically, and it runs the commands. You don't have to do anything from the terminal. Basically, really quick setup for dynamic DNS support from things like free DNS or noip.org. So you can access your files from anywhere out in the world. You can enable Samba shares so that you can share files with Windows, Mac, and Linux. And it's incredibly easy to use. You can set up your backup and restore functionality, port forwarding. It just goes on and on how easy a setup it is, connecting right from a browser. And so I basically scratched my initial Nextcloud install, went with Nextcloud Pi, and immediately with Nextcloud up and running, it was much faster than I had it running originally because of the data caching. And on a Raspberry Pi, there are moments where the Pi's resources are maxed out. So there are some points where you feel a little lag using Nextcloud on the Raspberry Pi. But for my personal home use for Nextcloud, I really have no problem waiting a few extra seconds for something to load or for something to show up. But as far as the storage goes, as far as the functionality using all apps, it is rock solid. In and out, up and down all the way through. Nextcloud has just filled a gap of something that I've been wanting to do in my house for a long time. A while back, I built an Ubuntu server that I wanted to do Samba shares and that type of thing with. And I had an old desktop. I basically reformatted for Ubuntu server, and I really didn't like the idea of just having the desktop on all the time, running and wasting power. And the Raspberry Pi uses so little power that I'm really just happy with you know what I have, even if it is a little slow occasionally. It's not all the time. So anybody looking for a home cloud storage solution, I give you Nextcloud Pi if you want to get a Raspberry Pi. They're only like $35 at this point in time. I'm on a Raspberry Pi 2. I'm sure that performance will be increased on a Raspberry Pi 3 as it is 64-bit. And you probably could also have larger file transfers as well. Right now I'm limited to 2 gigs on this. And I'm not sure if that's per file. I'm thinking that it's just the maximum file itself, maximum file size, because I do remember transferring quite a large folder over to Nextcloud at some point in time, and it just seemed to chug away at it and upload everything little bit by little bit, and it was successful. I had been trying to break Nextcloud for almost 2 weeks, and I have not done that. I've done some stupid things. For instance, I was at work and I noticed the update from 12.0.2 to 12.0.3, and so I connected to my I connected to Nextcloud via the web browser and decided to click upgrade to the latest version. And being away from home, the upgrade stalled out, and then I was locked out of my Nextcloud for the next probably 8 hours or so until I was able to go home and just take Nextcloud out of maintenance mode. And then I was able to finish the update, and it was successful within just a few minutes. So I learned my lesson on that one. Don't upgrade your systems from away from home, because if you run into a problem, then you are shut out and cannot finish your upgrade. So again, it's a learning process. The other thing that I had, I thought I set up a static IP address. I rebooted my router, and the router gave out new IP addresses to all of the devices in my house. And I had lost connection for a little bit until I figured out that was the problem. That was a real quick and easy fix. And I haven't had any problems since. So I'm hoping that the static IP is set now. And I'm ready to implement this in my house and create users for everybody in the house and really see where how it handles with multiple users now, especially on the Pi. With that said, the way that I have it set up, I really am using it for file sharing, and I'm nervous to use it as a backup, because I have a feeling that, you know, just like anything, you know, it could fail at any point in time. The hard drive could fail. And so what I want to look more into now is the way of implementing a backup for Nextcloud, so that I can not only have my files on Nextcloud, but have it all backed up just in case something happened to go wrong with it. That I haven't looked into enough to feel confident with just yet. In the meantime, though, I have a couple of more projects in mind for the next few weeks. One thing I read about just recently, I've been meaning to bring it up on this show, something that I'm very passionate about, a project that I found over just before the summer went out. SkyWave Linux is updating to version 3 soon. They're going to drop the Unity desktop, and they are now moving to the Mate desktop. I have a feeling that has a lot to do with Ubuntu's switch away from Unity. It's something that I brought up in the episode where I reviewed SkyWave Linux, and I've been sort of following that project recently for the last few weeks, and there are some major upgrades that are coming soon with version 3. And if you are a ham radio operator, you might want to check this out. I believe sometime the first week in October, version 3 should be coming out. I know a lot of people are really excited about that. And I'm really anxious to check out that next version of SkyWave Linux. And also, earlier I mentioned a little bit about benchmarking. I had a relative who benchmark does a lot of benchmarking for friends, family, community members, and I've never really been into it all that much, but it sort of piqued my interest this week, and I'm sort of pondering if that's the next thing that I want to get into is benchmarking software on Linux. I'd be real curious. I've used a few things on and off. I'll probably get into it in the next episode. But if you use any benchmarking software for any reason, hit me up on the contact form on my website, mrptechreviews.com. Just tell me what you use for benchmarking software and maybe some of your favorites. Tell me what they do, why it should be used. And then I'm going to do a little research myself and maybe do an episode on it in the future. And that's going to do it for today, guys. So thanks so much for listening. A lot of new topics coming down the pipe over the next few weeks. And thank you all for listening, because without you listening, nobody who listens to this project or this podcast should be nervous about emailing in to the show. This is all learning experience for me, and I appreciate anybody taking the time to write into the show. So please, if you listen to the show, write in. I will most likely respond to you fairly quickly when I have a minute to do so. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.